Good evening, councillors, staff, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the February ordinary meeting of council. A little bit of a change of format for the commencement of the meeting. Welcome to our mayor on telephone. Good evening, your worship.
Good evening, Mr. CEO and all the members.
The first item, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I formally declare the meeting open, and as the mayor is phoning in by telephone, as the deputy mayor is absent, we ask the council to choose, that's the word in the Local Government Act, a chair for the purpose of tonight's meeting. The chair is not the acting mayor. The chair will take the role of the chair for the order of business at this evening's meeting, and I would invite a motion from council for a chair for tonight's ordinary meeting, please.
Yeah.
Councillor Blake.
I'd like to move a motion to nominate Councillor Kudrinko to be our chair for this evening.
Do you accept that nomination, Councillor Kudrinko?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Douglas, thank you. I'll ask for a show of hands, or I'll ask for an indication from the mayor as to his vote. Would all those in favour of Councillor Kudrinko being the chair of tonight's meeting raise their hand? Thank you. Your worship?
Supported, thank you.
That's carried unanimously. Thank you very much, councillors. I declare the motion carried, and accordingly I invite Councillor Kudrinko to assume the chair.
Thank you, everyone. I welcome councillors and officers and members of the media and public present. I also acknowledge the Central Aranda people, who are the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs. I also just remind everyone that this meeting is being recorded and will be placed on the council website. We'll move first to the prayer, and I ask Reverend Robert Dunn to present the prayer for tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you for the privilege of lifting our council to the prayer tonight. Dear wise and loving Father, each of us here tonight have many things to be thankful for. Firstly, we're thankful for life itself, and every breath we take, we realize is a gift that we should not waste. We are thankful for the joy that comes from having loving family and friends as well. We're thankful to you for those amazing people in our community who serve us, emergency services, and our police, St. John's, fire department, hospital staff, and many others who serve us every day. They're always there. We need them. We are also mindful today of those who serve in the Australian military, both at home and abroad. They need our prayers, and we ask you to be with them and their families today. We're grateful for their service that allows us to sleep well at night. And Lord, while we are thankful of so many things, there is within our community many children and teens and adults who struggle daily with painful circumstances. We ask that you show us and our leaders how to demonstrate your kindness and mercy in places where they suffer. And finally, Lord, we are thankful for the leadership of our beloved Alice Springs, who are here this evening with a single purpose of serving our community. We pray for Mayor Damian Ryan and CEO Rex Mooney, our councillors and directors. We are extremely grateful for their commitment to our community and ask you to bless them this evening. We also ask that you help them see the issues clearly tonight and work together for a unified outcome that will not only meet the needs of our community, but make our town even stronger. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next on the agenda are apologies. Are there any apologies, Mr. CEO?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Deputy Mayor, Councillor Connie Bonani, annual leave. Councillor Brendan Heenan, annual leave. Councillor Ellie Melky, annual leave. Mr. Greg Buxton, Director of Technical Services, on personal leave. And Mr. Paul Della, Director of Finance, is on personal leave. In Mr. Buxton's place, I welcome Mr. Steve Balaban. And in Mr. Della's position, I welcome Mr. Dinesh Pillay. And Madam Chair, I might just take this opportunity to advise that tonight is the last time Jess Hackett, our Minute Secretary and PA to the Mayor and myself, will be in attendance at the council meeting. Jess, as council knows, apart from being Employee of the Year for last year, has done a tremendous job in the 3 years that Jess has been with us, fitted in like a hand into a glove and provided excellent service to the councillors, the staff, and to the ratepayers of Alice Springs. So I'd ask the chair, if you'd like to make a presentation to Jess, please, councillor.
Thank you. I just also would personally like to say thank you very much. Your extremely professional service in the time that I've been an elected member has clearly provided an essential link between the elected members and the council officers. So I thank you very much for your service and assistance over this time. I'll just ask, are any of the other elected members like to make comment?
Sure.
Councillor Brown?
Oh, that'd be a bit hard to refuse after a request like that. Yes, of course, we'd love to make comment. We're going to miss you very much, Jessica. You've been wonderful to work with, especially for people coming newly to council, and having somebody like you to deal with is very helpful. And Western Australia's gain is our loss. So hopefully one of these days you'll return to us. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Councillor Douglas?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, Jess, I'd like to wish you all the best in your future. And thank you very much for all the assistance you've given myself and all the councillors here. Thank you very much.
Councillor Martin?
Thank you. I guess it's just the same as everyone else. You have been an amazing support to me through some personal trials, and you had some really big shoes to fill that a lot of people knew you'd be good but didn't think you'd fill them, and I think you did an admirable job in filling them. Good luck with whatever happens over the West.
Councillor Pate?
Wow, where to start? I went to school with Jess, so I've watched her grow into an outstanding community member. And Jess, thank you so much for providing your advice and organisation to us as elected members. I suppose I'll echo what everyone else has said tonight. Your professionalism is outstanding and will be a quality that will be very hard for someone else to fill. I wish you best of luck in Western Australia. And I hope to see you back in Alice Springs at some point, but I think the world needs to experience Jess Hackett. So best of luck, Jess.
Mr. Mayor, did you want to make comment?
Thanks, through the Chair. My esteemed thanks to Jessica for all your help. I will miss your professional attitude, but more importantly, I will miss your friendship that you have extended to me during the time we both worked together. Good luck with whatever you do, Jessica. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, Jess. Okay, moving on with the agenda. Welcome to the members of the public in the gallery. Are there any questions from members of the public about items on the agenda or other business of council? No? Okay, moving to disclosure of interest. Do any of the councillors wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on the agenda pursuant to Section 70 of the Local Government Act 2008? Okay, confirmation of minutes at 6.1. In accordance with Section 67.3 of the Local Government Act 2008, I present the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on Tuesday the 27th of January 2015 for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move to confirmation of these minutes as a correct record of the proceedings at the meeting to which they relate? Councillor Pate, moved by Councillor Pate, seconded by Councillor Douglas. Thank you. Were there any matters arising from those minutes that were not already otherwise dealt with by the committees? Okay. Moving on to the Mayor's report and the minutes. So would you like me to present this, or can I pass to Damien to present? Okay, yep, so I might move to Mr. Mayor now to present his report.
Thanks, through the Chair, Councillor Pedrinko. I present my Mayor's report for the 24th February 2015. I would like to explain why I'm not able to be in the meeting this evening. A very good friend of mine lost his fight with cancer last Monday, and I'm in Brisbane for his funeral today. So I do appreciate the assistance you've all given me in being able to attend today. Any questions from my report? I'll take them if you could get them for me, please, Councillor Drinker.
Okay, are there any questions from the report? No? Okay, well then I ask for a motion that the report be received. Councillor Brown and a seconder, Councillor Pate. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay, I now invite the councillors to report on any community activities that they've been involved in during January. I'll start with Councillor Paik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, for the month, attended the mayoral reception for the Impaja Cup. I also attended a few of the games. I attended the Parramatta Eels game. I attended the Barella Ride Ceremony in Tennant Creek and also met with some of the Barkly Shire councillors whilst I was there. I attended all my standard committees, also participated in the Alice Springs Town Council Development Committee, met twice in that committee, and I think that's me for the month, actually. Thank you.
Councillor Martin.
Thank you. The biggest one I've done this last month is attended the cemetery meeting, but I've also had a couple of meetings with people afterwards in relation to other things that have actually happened in the cemetery, particularly regarding vandalism, and another one which I only had late this afternoon, I haven't contacted the director about yet, which was the removal of some items which I, from the phone call, expect was rubbish type items. I'm not too sure, but I would like to bring that up in confidential. Also referring some place names issues onwards to the committee, which may or may not be reformed in Darwin, I'm not sure at this stage, regarding the naming of some of the truck parking bays in the Northern Territory. And I also met with a small group of people in the rural area regarding access and dumping on Crown land. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Councillor Douglas?
Yes, thank you. Yes, just the normal the forum meeting, development committee meeting, meeting with Mayor Damien for a coffee and a chat, talking to people in the area in around town about the overgrown drains that tend to be getting a bit worse at the moment. So there's people have been talking to me about it, and I'd love to get something done one of these days. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Brown?
Yep, I also did the council's planning meeting, cemeteries meeting, the development consent meeting, seniors meeting, a few desert sports meetings, and quite a bit of media and association with various community things such as access to the clay pens and other issues. And that's about it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. My report for the month is attendance at the Development Executive Committee, the Environment Advisory Committee, the Public Art Advisory Committee. Also had a meeting with Mayor Ryan. I also met with the manager at the local community bank regarding the questions that I put to the finance director at the last committee to hear a little bit more about what that bank products offer. And I also met with the RSL chairman in relation to a motion which I put up last year regarding an Aboriginal flag to be present on Anzac Hill. And that's my report for the month. I'll now move to orders of the day. Mr. CEO?
Well, there are none, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And now to deputations. There are two deputations tonight. Which was first on the list?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My pleasure to welcome Sean Parnell, the Executive Director, Gambling and Licensing Services and Alcohol Policy, to provide council with some recent changes or updates in the policy area. So welcome, Sean. Yes, please, and then take the microphone if you're happy to stand or to sit, please. It's your choice.
Welcome. I might just move around the room and ask the elected members to introduce themselves to you if you haven't met them already. Yep. So I'll start with Councillor Brown.
Dave Douglas.
Councillor Kudrinko.
Yes.
Dinesh Pillay, Acting Finance Director.
Rex Mooney.
Stephen Balderman. Greg Catchlaw.
Jessica Hackett.
Liz Martin.
Chancey Pate.
Thank you. So feel free to stand or sit, whichever you feel more comfortable.
Okay, I'll sit down.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks firstly for inviting me here this evening. My name's Sean Parnell and I'm the inaugural Director General for Licensing in the Northern Territory. How I came about being here, I actually ran into your mayor in Darwin. It was before Christmas, and we talked about some licensing matters and just in general chit-chat, and made the offer to come down and speak to council just in case to explain actually the changes in the licensing laws that have been going now for about 12 months. I was hoping to come down actually before the 1st of January when the new licensing laws kicked off, which was part of the consultative process, but that didn't happen for one reason or another because our paths didn't cross when I was down here. So that's really the background why I did make that offer. So I'll be very brief tonight anyway, but basically my position is a new statutory position that's been created, and it's the it actually replaces what was formerly the Licensing Commission, which dealt with a number of licensing and gaming matters. One of the rationale for doing that by government, and it's long-standing, went back probably more than 12 months ago, was twofold. It was to make it administratively easier, cutting red tape in businesses who are applying for licences. But on the other side of the coin, it also built in some mechanisms for appeal that didn't exist before and some safeguards in some of the licensing categories. You may or may not be aware, I think in the last year of operation, the Licensing Commission, although it's only part-time members, expended about $800,000 running that part-time commission. So and that was one of the reasons. The other thing was people were applying for licences and it was taking an inordinate amount of time. And we're talking months rather than weeks to do some simple licences because they had to align the things up when the Licensing Commission was actually sitting, and it was a bit, they felt unwieldy. The Licensing Commission's only been operating since the 1st of January, and that's when the legislation started. So, I go back. One of the other things that did occur previously, if the Licensing Commission made a decision and someone wanted to appeal that decision, they would actually appeal to the Licensing Commission. So they would get two other members or three other members of that commission to hear the appeal from the other members, provided they weren't involved in that decision. One of the reasons the government changed the legislation was, well, anyone would rightly think, well, that's a bit anomalous that they're reviewing their own decisions. So what it did is that it brought in that most of the decisions are delegated down. So there's a power of delegation from myself as Director General, and they're delegated down to directors of licensing. If people are unhappy with those decisions, they can ask for review, which is done by myself as the Director General. There is a further review, which is to the newly formed Administrative Appeals Tribunal, Northern Territory Administrative Appeals Tribunal, and people can actually appeal those decisions to that independent body. So that's something that didn't exist prior to the introduction of the legislation. One of the other big things government's done recently is also trying to bring licensing all together under one umbrella. So under the Director General licensing now sits occupational licensing, which is plumbers and drainers, building practitioners, electrical contractors, architects and surveyors. So they still have independent boards that actually issue those licences, but the licences come under Director General licensing because we're moving towards a one-stop licensing system, an online licensing system, which we're in the steps of procuring this year. So So just in summary, and probably to conclude, is that nothing's actually changed as far as, you know, liquor licensing and all that. The actual procedures still remain the same. So there's the same the matters that I'm required to consider. I still have to give due regard to precedent, what's occurred before. The same matters that the Licensing Commission had to consider, I would still have to consider, except now there's that right of appeal if people don't like the decisions. So that's a good thing. What it has done is just streamline some of the processes. So the reason I was brought in as Director General really is just as inaugural Director General is really to bring in those changes within the department and bed them down to make them work. And that's what I'll be doing for the best part of this year anyway. So, but I'm happy to take any questions, I suppose, if that's the way. But that's about probably a summary for me anyway.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll move now to Councillor Paik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to ask two questions. You're talking about the reform and so forth. Under this new system, has there been an increase in liquor licences and pokie machine licences?
There's been no poker machine license applications under the new system. So, although that's a separate, you may be aware, government announced the lifting of the cap and all that.
Yep.
And that's not a decision of the Director General or Department. That's a government decision. But since that came in, it was lifted on 1 January. There hasn't been any license game machine applications. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head the number of liquor license applications, but I'm fairly certain that it's pretty level, like it hasn't increased dramatically or anything. One thing I'll probably that may have increased, and none of them are, they're still in the application stage, there's a number of, when I say a number, I'm talking less than half a dozen of takeaway applications, because as you will recall, the moratorium on takeaway alcohol licences was lifted last year. I can't remember the exact date, sometime last year, about mid of last year. So there's been about, as I say, less than half a dozen, maybe three or four of those applications since the middle of last year. So, and obviously that's an increase because they weren't able to be approved before.
So there hasn't been an increase in approved alcohol outlets?
No.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. And what would be the process, community level or community engagement process for both the liquor outlets and pokies?
Okay. It's probably... certainly for poker machines, it's been increased. Previously, there was what was called a community impact assessment, and it was pretty... The actual applicant for that gaming machine licence would just do his own assessment and hand that in. And the actual requirement in the Act was all you had to do was have done the assessment. So actually what was in it was not necessarily consequential to the decision. So it was just exactly that you've done one that... tick the box, so to speak. What the government's done, the new regime, is introduced a far more rigorous process. Like, so it's called a, in the Act, I think it's community impact assessment still, but it's actually got to be done by an independent person, not the owner of the premises or whatever. So, and there's a whole raft of criteria to go through. So it's actually quite a lengthy process. And when we've looked through the people able to do it, it's actually costly. You know, before you could probably whack one together for a couple of $1,000. This is actually costly because you've got to go into the socio-demographics of the area, looking at all, not just the positives, but any potential harms. It's certainly a lot more in-depth. It's not just, five or 10 pages of paper. It's actually quite an in-depth impact analysis. And we've modelled that on some of the stuff that's been done interstate, particularly in Queensland and that. So it is actually quite a rigorous process. I suppose at the end of the day, the proof will be in the pudding. As I say, we haven't had any applications yet, but when they do, they're going to have to satisfy that community impact analysis. The other thing with that, as well as with liquor licences, is community consultation. So our two key stakeholders, for want of a better word, are the police for liquor licences, certainly, and community councils. Like, so if something happened in Alice Springs, we'll be the Alice Springs Council. So if someone wanted to apply for a new liquor licence in Alice Springs, for instance, it would generally be handed by the director, who's my 2IC down here, the director of licensing, and she would organise the file. But the people to be consulted would be the police, who would have some input, and we'd certainly listen to them, and the local council, LA, the Alice Springs Town Council. So as far as consultations, I'll say there's probably scope for more under the new system, but there's certainly none less. Anything that's existing under the old Act will still be there. People will be able to, it'll be advertised in the normal way in the paper, 28 days. People have a chance to lodge their objections. It'll be put on our website. We also have the capacity up there. We've been looking at some of those, particularly with gaming machines, poker machines, to send it out to people who may be interested, you know, through an email process rather than just advertising. So people who we know might have a, you know, non-government organisation might have an interest in it. So,
right. And with your role, does your role have the ability to look at prescribed areas, whether they remain prescribed or not?
Yes, no. So it's really, that's a community-based thing. But at the end of the day, for prescribed area, you're talking about under the Commonwealth legislation or the...
I'm just talking about the prescribed areas that might result in a town camp or a an area within the municipality that is not allowed for alcohol. Is that something that would sit under your jurisdiction?
In the first instance, say for instance town camps, but the federal government, the federal minister would still have a say in that. So we would go through the normal consultative process, and it's part of the alcohol management plans, and it also is talked about at the alcohol reference group, which I believe that the mayor sits on. They've been consulting on that for a number of years now. I've got a whole unit up there that does consults about alcohol management plans. So when I say, I would certainly be involved in that decision, but it's something that they've been, certainly talking to residents in town camps for a number of years. It doesn't happen overnight. And for those areas, they have to get the concurrence of the federal minister. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are there any other elected members with questions? I've just got a question. In recent history for this council, we have had some issues regarding the Prostitution Act and how that's impacted council. I believe there had been or is still currently a review. I'm wondering if you can provide us with an update on that, and particularly just how that review requires public consultation, because that was one of the issues that certainly came up for us last time.
Okay. So I think we've written back to you, wrote to the council about consultation, and certainly from my perspective as Director General, like any licences that come to me, I'm not only more than happy to consult, but I think it's actually pivotal to my role to ensure that the community come along, that we do consult, police and council, advertisements in the paper. As far as the review into the Act that goes, we've certainly put a number of options up to the Minister, and that's with him at the moment. But my understanding, without preempting anything, the Minister, obviously, mm-hmm. is his call, what he wants to do. I understand that he would release a discussion paper before. Like, it's not just us. He's favouring not just us putting options to him, like his people have spoken to us about this, we want to amend. The actual penultimate bit of our... research is actually to say, well, you need to put a discussion paper out and ask the community what they think broadly. So I'll be pretty certain that government's not going to make any changes to the Prostitution Regulation Act without consulting with the community first.
Okay. Were there any other questions from the elected members? And Mr. Mayor, did you have any questions or comments?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming tonight. That was quite informative on a few levels. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move now to the next deputation, which is Ms. Sue Dugdale, who's speaking to us tonight regarding the cemetery and the chapel design. Fantastic, yep. Okay, and Sue's been invited tonight to give more information following the discussions we had in the committee meeting. Sue, are you familiar with all the elected members? You've met with us many times, so we don't need to do introductions. Okay, I'll hand over to you. Thank you, Sue.
Thanks, Jade. Madam Chair, sorry. I presented a preliminary design for a non-denominational chapel at the cemetery in November last year, and so I'll go through that presentation now. Is that better?
Damien, can you hear Sue speaking?
Hello, Damien.
Yes, thank you.
The plan, which I think you all have in your screens now, is the... sorry, mine has moved on. The part of the master plan for the cemetery, and so the plans are scrolling through. Is it possible to stop them?
Could you use the mic, please? This one here. Portable.
I can scroll it back. I think it's still scrolling. I'll try anyway. I'll be quick. So, can I take it that everyone's aware of the master plan for the cemetery? Okay. Yep. Okay, sorry, I'll try and speak.
Sorry, Sue, we do have occasionally a little bit of trouble just making sure the communications all work, so I might just ask you to speak as loudly as you can. So
all right.
Thank you, much appreciated.
Good, I'll try a bit louder. So there's, on the left of your screen is the new entry to the cemetery, the avenue through the centre, and then at the end of this avenue... is a small chapel, non-denominational chapel that can seat 60 people in an enclosed space or be opened up and address a larger number of people. There would be a car park to one side and an avenue along that approach road. And so as you approach, this is the view. Sorry, the plan has gone through 90 degrees now. So the design shows a square nave, I guess, for want of a better word. It's not a Christian building per se. And a hatched area to the left-hand side that is a potential stage two for a crematorium. And out the right-hand side to the east is a low amphitheatre of grass, of turf, just to allow for extra seating for a larger audience. The design of the chapel is such that when you approach, there's a shady veranda and you can see right through the building to the landscape beyond. Once you're inside, the main focus for the ceremony is to the western end, where there's a couple of small stages which can be used by a minister or for small performances. We've indicated a position for a coffin, but the space is open for use in any particular way that people choose. And the intent of that space is to create a focus, so there's no windows out of the space in this direction. And there are these wing walls which set up a proscenium-like effect into this space here, which is lit from above with strong natural light. So I'll talk a little bit more about the light. Then at the back of the space, there's bifold doors that can open out and the congregation or the gathering can extend out. Sorry, just going back one. With that plan, for larger groups, the ceremony can be conducted out underneath this back veranda here, and the gathered audience or congregation can sit out on a grassy slope out here. So you could potentially have, you know, several hundred people attending a service. There are toilets around the side here. This is the design we presented last November, and since then we have reconsidered the design, but this is the design that the cemetery committee have seen, so I think it's appropriate that I show this one, and if you want to, I can quickly show another design after, but that's probably up to Madam Chair. So the intent was to create a a timeless looking design with some very simple geometric forms using textured masonry. So probably split face block work. We don't have a large budget, but with a featured red sandstone tile forming fine stripes through the building, or some similar combination of masonry. So you see the elevations in front of you there with the various doors. The section through the chapel shows that we would get as much height as we could. The chapel won't be air-conditioned, partly for running costs and for construction costs, so we'll use ceiling fans, but also to get as much height and as much insulation as possible in the roof. So on the right-hand side, you can see how there would be natural light through a clear roof and some baffles that are obscured from the audience, but would give indirect natural light falling down this rear wall as a backdrop for any ceremony that's been undertaken. You can see the extent of the enclosed space is here. With the doors open, it can extend out under the shaded veranda and then further out into the open area. This is the, if you've driven in the avenue and parked in the car park, which I showed in the first plan, and walked towards the chapel, this is the view that you would see. And the position of a hearse is shown there at the entry to the chapel. Sorry, yeah, non-denominational chapel. Chapel's an appropriate word. We had also designed some walls that would be niche walls for ashes, which would form part of the overall aesthetic of the chapel, but they're not part of the current plan or the current budget. So for the meantime, the chapel would stand alone. And then this last view is the outside area out the back, looking towards the chapel. I've got some images, because those are fairly preliminary models and preliminary design, I just wanted to give a couple of mentions of some other buildings that exist in the world that show the aesthetic that we've been trying to achieve. So this first image is a Carmelite monastery that uses textured masonry to create some very timeless and beautiful geometric forms. This next image, once again, a sort of timeless form sculpted away to create an entry. This one is a chapel set in a natural setting that shows some big doors that extend out to an outdoor space and a grassy area. And this is the interior of that chapel looking out. So very large, simple scale elements like doors and some very simple seating inside. And in this case, there's a very beautiful landscape outside, and I think that we also have a landscape that we can take advantage of. This next one is a simple rectilinear space, similar to the size of the space that we are planning to create. However, this one has a strong natural light coming from the left-hand side, and so we would be looking to control the light more than this. And you can see the indirect light on the end wall above the crucifix. We'd probably be looking for a stronger effect than that. This is another example of the end of a nave of a church with some strong direct light, but also creating a focal point at the front of the space. This is a good example of some more indirect light using baffles and more the kind of effect we're trying to create, but with a less complex structure and a smaller space. This is not a chapel per se, but gives a strong sense of indirect natural light washing over a textured masonry wall, and I think it's creates a very powerful effect. And so this is what we're aiming to do. This one, I think, is closest to what we're trying to achieve, although with a focus of light at the end, but because it also uses artificial light to create a kind of an extra effect in the space. Sorry, didn't realize it had gone off. And then this is actually a mosque by a contemporary Bangladeshi architect. And I think, once again, the simplicity of the space, the textured masonry, the focal point at the end using indirect light, but in this case also some a feature in the roof and the ceiling that create the sparkle of light effects on the floor. I think as a collection, and then another example, as a collection, they're all very powerful spaces, and they're created with very simple materials, but using light very artfully. So in developing the design of the chapel, this is what we would like to achieve. Now, if it's appropriate, I could go to a slightly different version of the plan and a roof form, or is that...
I think we do have time tonight, so we should take advantage of you being here, I think.
Yes, all right. Yeah. Yep. So this is not an approved design, and the cemetery committee and the technical department haven't seen this design yet. I attended a funeral at the cemetery in January, and it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon on a hot day, and there were a couple of hundred people there. And it gave me a really strong sense of the functionality required, but also the sense of using the space and what would better serve a congregation. So the new plan you see in front of you is a splayed plan, so that when the rear doors open up, the space, the people outside can participate in the interior space, so you don't have an either-or. And also, being a splayed space, the number of people sitting outside that could participate in the internal space would be hundreds. It could be very many. Also, you can see that we don't have a separate side entry from the rear doors. We've got an entry from the road that when you come in, you look straight through out to the landscape, but you are also immediately on the shared spill-out veranda space at the back. I should mention that in both designs, they could operate with these rear doors closed, with just one door open or two doors open to allow access if it's a cold day or a particularly hot day or a particularly small congregation. And so we'd be looking for a similar effect with this end wall, but we haven't refined that aspect of the design yet until the form is fixed. In the previous design, the access to the toilets was around the outside, which I think could be hot and potentially a bit demeaning. In this design, the entry is through an appropriate sort of corridor that also allows people to queue if necessary, and I think is fairly likely, but in a sort of a more discreet way, I guess. And then this space over here is a multifunctional space. It could, at the very minimum, be a storeroom for the chairs and furniture when they're not in use. But we thought that it could also be a sort of family room for and could have a couple of little couches in it so that members of the gathering could retire. And it could also be a preparation space for the minister or the people officiating at the service. On entry, there's also some seats built into some low walls on both sides. So expanding the sense of the space. So we've looked at a couple of roof forms for this revised design, and I think maybe Jade, someone said that you had made a comment about the starkness of the masonry walls, which I think from the examples I've shown in pictures you can see that they can work well, but I think also on a smaller building they might just look plain, and we've decided to go look at the options of a more enveloping roof form. So this is a design that we've arrived at where there's a sort of triangular tower, if you like, at the end, and that becomes the light well. So it's like a light tower that we haven't worked out yet how the light enters, but it can be through the roof or through the sides. And then a wide hipped roof that peaks up at the back so that it's got a high point here so that when you're inside the space, the ceiling will to some extent follow the roof, and the space is peaking up towards the point of your focus. And then at the back, if there's a large congregation out the back, there's a raised roof that allows that space to participate in the interior space. And there's a couple more images of that roof. So you can see from entry you're looking straight through the building, which I think in this landscape is really important, so that you're always with, placed in the landscape and participating in the landscape. And then because the budget's limited, we looked at another roof form that would be simpler. Oh, sorry, this is the rear view of that design. We did look at a simpler roof form again, which is a little bit hard to see on this, but it's just a simple gable roof. But because of its pointed shape at the end, it would have a little bit of specialness about it. And it has a ridge line that slopes up to the rear open space. And that would be the view from the rear because it's just a simple gable. Jade, did you want me to talk about the costings or any other aspect of the work?
Well, I guess we're interested, being shown the alternative design, how that fits with the original costings. But were there anyone? Were there any other questions at this point?
On you go there.
Councillor Martin.
Thank you. I really like the splayed design. Obviously, there's going to be some budget differences with that one. But going back to the original concept, the one that the Cemeteries Committee has actually seen, I was concerned about how we were going to make the other 200 or so people feel like they were included, and the splayed design actually meets that. But in that original design, is there some sort of conceptual design or plan where some sort of audiovisual or sound can be added or projected from outside to make those people feel included, that isn't going to detract from the back of the building? Has that been part of the consideration on that first design?
It's certainly necessary to make the design work, to make both designs work, and it's part of the brief. We haven't designed the detail yet. There'd be a small amount of audiovisual equipment that would be in one of the storeroom, wherever it's placed.
Yeah, more so than the equipment, like where you would actually mount it. You don't sort of want it off-centre or blocking off the view from other people that are sitting out in the amphitheatre or something.
I'm sorry, I can't answer that in any detail.
That's still waiting to go through. Yep, that's fine, thank you.
Yeah, but it's a good question and I'll note it.
Thank you.
Councillor Page.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to express, I really like the new option that has been put up. I think how you've incorporated that in with the amphitheatre being on the kind of same shape is really well. My initial concern was I wanted to make sure that we were going to incorporate a lot of local and natural products. So when I saw the white wall with the brown through it, I wasn't entirely convinced of what products it would be. I think you said it was masonry.
Yes, when we were featuring the masonry in the original design, we'd been looking at split-face concrete block,
yep,
and possibly with a custom design colour, but a pale colour, and then using some local sandstone inset. And then the interior, we're considering something in with some warmth to it so that it's not a cold masonry structure altogether. So the side walls would probably be lined with plywood, selected A-grade plywood. And then the feature wall that you face when you sit in the congregation we'd consider carefully, but would be probably a render with certain finish to it. We need to keep the finishes both fairly robust for low maintenance and also fairly economic because the budget's is on the smaller side for this kind of building, but yeah, we're certainly looking for some warmth and also to use local materials.
Yeah, is that, it would the mud plastering be something that you would consider?
Like a bagging rather than a rendering?
Yeah.
We could. Some people find that feels a bit cheap. It looks like a render that has, they didn't have enough money to do a proper render.
Yeah.
But I think in certain circumstances it's very beautiful. So I'd certainly consider it.
Yeah, I mean, it's both concepts, I think, are very well. I think we just needed the opportunity to talk about when we saw that white wall, it was like, whoa. But I think that both concepts are great, and I look forward to either which one we proceed with.
Yeah, thanks. I'll just mention that the 3D model on the screen, it wasn't really... The models on the screen are quite conceptual early stage, so they don't really show materials in any detail.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I think that they're good. My personal preference would be for preference two at the moment. I just think that that's a more inviting option, but I think that they're both great concepts.
Thank
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I was interested to get some more information because initially I was a little bit concerned about the main wall, that it didn't have any windows and it looked white in the design that was presented to us. So I feel like I can sort of rest in comfort now, knowing that those natural elements like the sandstone and will have more texture, and particularly that you've got light coming in as a feature in so many other ways, that the lack of windows on that wall that we saw isn't actually going to be an issue. To me, it doesn't seem at all, in fact, that we'll have beautiful natural light. And also the fact that there was a big wall, I wondered how you would fit in the landscape, so you've explained that perfectly in both designs for me. So I'm very pleased with that. I think certainly this design will have to go back to the Symmetries Advisory Committee and certainly further discussion with the tech services team regarding the proposed budget, particularly for this new proposal, I think would be the way to go forward. Mr. Mayor, I'm aware you probably couldn't see any of those images. Even so, did you have any questions at this point?
I have a few questions I'd like to discuss with other members later in the evening.
Okay, sure. Councillor Paik?
Sorry, I just forgot to ask, is it possible in the briefing to look at facilities that could assist in hosting a wake there, so like a small kitchenette or something along those lines?
Definitely would be happy to consider that, yes. And I think there's a spot for that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the other members? No? Was there anything else you'd like to present to us at this point?
No, that's taken enough of your time. Thank you.
No, much appreciated. Thank you for coming in tonight. Okay, moving now to item 11, memorials, Mr. CEO.
There are no memorials, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Notices of motion?
And there are no notices of motion.
Okay, thanks. I'll now move to item 13, reports of the standing committees and those recommendations. I'll move to Councillor Paik first for the Finance Committee. I'm sorry. In the absence of Councillor Heenan, I'll move to Councillor Paik. Thank you. That's
sure.
On behalf of Councillor Heenan. Sorry about that.
Madam Chair, I present the report of the Finance Committee held on the 9th of February 2015 and invite members to withdraw any items they wish debated separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the recommendations not so withdrawn.
Thank you.
No items withdrawn. Okay. Your Worship, Madam Chair, I move in terms of items 1, 2.
I'll second that, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Seconded by Mayor Ryan. Thank you.
This now concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Okay, I then will now, Worship, Your Worship, I'll present. I don't know why I'm addressing Your Worship because he's not here, but I'm just reading from the script, apologies. But so to the other elected members, I'll present the report of the Corporate and Community Services Committee meeting, which was held on the 9th of February, and invite members to withdraw any items they wish to debate separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the recommendations not so withdrawn. Okay, I then move items in terms of items 1, 2 and 3.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. All those in favour? Thank you. Thank you, Greta. Do you think we'll go back a little? Okay. As I haven't sat in this chair before, I've just realised, well, I've been advised that we actually should have voted for the last committee as well. So I'd like all those to a show of hands, all those in favour, to move the technical services, sorry, the finance. Thank you. All those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Okay, now moving to the technical services, and I'll move to Councillor Pate. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I present the report of the Technical Services Committee held on the 9th of February 2015 and invite members to withdraw any items they wish debated separately. Following this, I intend to move in terms of the motions not so withdrawn.
Item 4.
Item 4.
That's okay. The mayor, because I was going to withdraw item 4.
You're also going to withdraw item 4?
I think everyone
okay,
was.
Thank you. Okay, well, Councillor Pake, I'll ask you to move those items not so withdrawn.
Madam Chair, I move in terms of items 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 and 8.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder? All those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so Mayor Ryan on item 4.
Thank you, through the Chair. I think that this item should be deferred following this evening's discussion, and I don't think we can move with the resolution that's there.
Absolutely.
Okay, can I have a seconder? All those in favour?
Aye.
So that's deferred.
Yep.
So it'll be deferred via the Cemeteries Committee. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this now concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'll now move to item 14, reports of officers. Firstly, the CEO's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll present as presented in the report. Item 2 requires a resolution to affix the common seal to a funding agreement. Council has been successful in obtaining some grant funding. You'll see there for Jim McConville for some storage. That requires to affix the seal to the agreement. And item 1 is for information.
I move item 2.
Thank you. And a seconder?
All those in favour.
That was Councillor Martin. And all those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you.
And then I'll move item 1.
Say that again, sorry.
We just moved item 2. I now move item 1.
Thank you very much. A seconder? Councillor Pake, all those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Okay, and now to reports from the directors. So the Director of Finance, Neil.
Neil. Oh,
thank you. Director of Corporate and Community Services. No, and none from the Director of Technical Services tonight. Thank you very much. Okay, now move to questions without notice. Are there any questions without notice? No? Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Pake?
I just wanted to ask a question to the Director of Finance or Technical Services. I understand that we've been doing some work in the flood mitigation in the Todd River, and I wanted to make an inquiry as to when our current funding arrangement for flood mitigation is due to expire, and if we'd had any previous conversations with the Northern Territory Government into a renewal or continuation of that funding.
The Chair, I'll have to take that notice. I'm not too sure when that... the questions. I'll just take that notice and I'll get back to you that one, okay?
Thank you.
Are there any other questions without notice? No? Okay. I didn't ask at item 9, but did anyone have any items for general business? Councillor Pake? No? Okay, thank you. Okay, now item 17, matters for media attention, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That'll be followed up. Our media and communications officer is in attendance.
Thank you.
So we'll follow us up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Our next ordinary meeting will be on Monday, the 30th of March, 2015, at 6 p.m. in the council chambers.
There being no other business, ask for a motion to adjourn to the confidential section. Councillor Douglas, and a seconder. Councillor Brown, thank you very much. All those in favour? Thank you very much. We'll adjourn for 15 minutes. Thank you very much.